This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Getting better. So, here's what I think. I think that the last two drafts are shaping up to be two of the top three drafts in the past decade.
Yes. Right? I think the data shows it for sure.
And I mean, it's early, but I'm looking at the returns and you hit in the first round, obviously in 2020, like you got a possible future Hall of Famer in Chase Young, not even jumping off sides on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. He's on pace.
Antonio Gibson, you know,
steal.
looks really good. I don't know how good yet. And you know what makes last year's draft look way better? Cam Curl.
Oh,
Cam Curl,
yeah.
Man, he elevates Roll that tide. Draft to be like one of those things where it's like, oh, okay, you nailed the obvious one. Oh, might be a special one. Then I look at the 2019 draft and I go, man, if you could just
go back
not
in time.
Pick Haskins.
Go back in
if
time.
If you could pick anyone else there that's like good, serviceable, wide receiver, whatever position. Sweat, McLaurin, hello. Jimmy Moreland, Cole Holcomb. It's like that.
Wes Martin.
It looks like that could be the first like building blocks to like when you mm-hmm. get on track.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. And then whatever. Well, no, maybe 2017 when you had Allen, Anderson, and Monroe in the first three rounds. Base knocks. All base knocks.
Mm-hmm.
Now the bases are loaded. Who's going to bring the Grand Slam? That's Chase Young 3 years later.
Yes.
All right. I still haven't picked my – none of these scream this is the best draft in a decade.
Only one screams best in the decade. It's not a large leap, the 2012 draft. Robert Griffin III, Kirk Cousins, Alfred Morris – and I know you look at the rest of that and go, it's not that great. But all three of those guys were Pro Bowlers. All three of those guys were on a team that made it to the wild card with Robert Griffin III winning Rookie of the Year before the injury. And two of those players were still on the roster when they won the NFC East in 2015.
So here's the deal.
It's not a sexy draft class at all, but it got the job done.
What's so crazy is at the time it felt like a movement. It felt like that was the draft that, oh, things turned around. Especially after RG3's rookie year. You kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just like, yeah, Alfred Morris was good for 2 years. You know?
He was still on the roster for that 2015 season.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, he was good for 2 years. RG3 was incredible for 1 year and then fizzle. And Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins. Like, he's one of those, I put up numbers, but there's a reason the receivers are like always angry.
Yeah, I mean, he got a Pro Bowl because he was just putting up insane numbers.
But in the red zone, receivers want to annihilate him. Look at Stephon Diggs. Look at him. He's like, man, look at me now. Look at me now.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. Like, Kirk Cousins is really, really good.
He's the good veteran quarterback you want on your team.
He's the, you know what he is? He's the good veteran quarterback you don't want if you're trying to win a Super Bowl.
Even though teams have to convince themselves that he will win you a Super Bowl, we all know that's probably not going to happen.
What they do is they convince themselves that he will not lose you to Super Bowl.
That's fair. Yeah. That's a good point.
So I'm sitting here trying to figure
even though
this out.
He can crush you in one interception.
And as I tried to put this positive spin on it because of the NFL draft this past weekend, which we're going to Let's let everybody know. When we come back in a few minutes, we're going to hear from some of the players drafted. So we're going to start to play some of those interviews for you from this year's draft, including the second, third, and fourth round picks in Sam Cosmi, De'Ami Brown, and Benjamin St. Juice. But here's something I started to try to figure out here, Chip. Who's the worst draft pick in the last 5 years? Here are my selections.
Okay.
Dwayne Haskins, Darius Geis. You know, Samaje Perine's a fourth rounder, but I heard so much about him. Sua Cravens, Josh Doctson. That's my list.
Mm.
Yeah, who are you going with?
Sua Cravens.
Ooh. Worse than Haskey Haskins?
Haskins at least.
Worse than Geis?
Both showed flashes that they could be good. Sua Cravens went out there and didn't do anything, then stepped away from the game and left because the team and him just did not jive, and football kind of fell apart for him in Washington. It was one of those picks where you thought there's a lot of potential for this guy, and it all just...
You talking about Haskins?
No, Cravens.
I know. You see what I did there? You were talking about Cravens, but it sounds like you were talking about Haskins as well.
I do, yeah. But Haskins got out there, and he did.
I think Haskins, because of his position, is why. Like, if Haskins, he produced.
Is it on the field or off the field, though? Like, where are you putting the line down? Because I'm looking on the field. Haskins at least went out there and did something that we know for certain without an absolute.
I almost feel like under different circumstances and with someone that would just like punch him in his jaw and be like, "Hey, get your act together, kid!" Like he just needed like a spanking or something from a parent when he was like 7. I don't know. People might not be into that. He needed discipline, is what I'm saying.
Structure.
This guy out here during a global pandemic going to a strippy strip club. Talking about ain't no problem with it.
Still surprises me that Joe Burrow lost to him at Ohio State.
You know,
because we saw what Joe Burrow did in Cincinnati this past season.
And I think that's what's hilarious is, Haskins, the all-time single season, you know, touchdowns and yards guy at Ohio State.
That's what I'm saying.
It's weird because he does, like, if just the eye test, there's no way. You could see Joe, and then maybe Joe Burrow. Here's the thing. You never know a situation with college kids, and I mean this. You don't know what Joe Burrow did when he went to Ohio State. You don't know what his situation was like and how maybe going to LSU got him on a straight and narrow.
And now, Urban Meyer's program is designed to have quarterbacks go through the system much like Alabama. So it's not just you show up, you take the job. You got to earn your spot. So Haskins, who had grinded for a while to get that position, and then Joe Burrow leaves, Justin Fields transfers in, gets the job. Notice how the last three quarterbacks at Ohio State all put up crazy numbers. It was just Haskins who beat him by a sizable margin.
Yeah, but...
That's a system. That is a foundation of a program.
And a lot of talent.
Yeah.
When you got these running backs that, one, they're going to plow over people. Two,
Trey Sermon this past season. I can't believe he fell as far as he did either.
Well, this is what we're talking about. We're running
right.
Where'd he go? Fourth round?
Yeah.
Who'd he go to?
I don't remember, but I remember just keeping track of when he went. It was fourth or fifth round.
I feel like the Washington
and I thought this
football
dude's two
team,
or three.
I feel like the Washington football team were in play for him, and then like he got drafted right before.
There were a couple teams that would have loved to have his. I'm looking it up.
I think Trey Sermon would have been great here. I think they needed another running back. And I think he would have been perfect.
He went to the 49ers.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. In the third round.
With Trey Lance, make him dance. Lance, make him dance.
How about that pick?
We all knew that was happening. What are you talking about?
I was 50%.
You were the Mac Jones guy.
Mac Jones was getting crazy love that made no sense to me.
You know why? It was smoke. You went for the smoke and mirror, sir.
I didn't want him
You're the guy sitting front row at the Magic Show.
I didn't want Mac Jones to go in the top 15.
I don't know. This is so amazing. This Magic Show.
No, I was thinking of it in terms of NFL teams can be irrational when they hear the words Tom Brady. When they hear the words Tom Brady.
Who put that out there?
Mel Kiper. He said there are aspects of his game that are Tom Brady-esque.
Flagrant.
On me?
Mel Kiper.
Okay. Good. He talks. I was like, I'm not taking a flagrant foul for that.
I love Mel Kiper. He talks for 18,000 hours. At some point, he's going to say something
stupid. For like 3 weeks out of the year.
Yeah. Like, at some point, he's going to say some hyperbolic, insane thing.
He does come out of a time capsule to do the draft.
Yeah. Like, that was, no, that was ridiculous. Hyperbole.
Yeah. Because people were saying Joe Burrow last year had Tom Brady stats. And look how every team freaked out.
I'm taking your lead here. Worst Washington football team draft pick in the last 5 years. And I'm hashtagging this. I don't do a lot of hashtags.
Really?
Hashtags. What is it? HTTR? Is that the best one?
Just Washington football. Hashtag Washington football.
Hashtag Washington football. We're putting this poll out there for the people.
Yes. We love polls.
Worst. Is it Washington football team or Washington football?
Just Washington football.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Worst.
Hashtag Washington football.
I just put it out there.
Boom.
Worst Washington football team draft pick in the last 5 years. Dwayne Haskins, Darius Geis, Josh Doctson, Sewer Cravens. Tweet. I'm going to at you, too.
Chip. Yeah, please do.
And we want to hear from you as well. Where are you on this, people? Because I love this draft. But we can't judge these guys right now. Worst Washington football team draft pick in the last 5 years. I see we actually have someone on line one. So, Sean, let's go to line one with our guy, Travis. Travis, what's on your mind, man?
Travis.
Oh, are we not? Travis on line one. What's going on, man?
Hey, this is Mark from Largo.
Oh, sorry, Mark.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Look, let me say this, man. Let me say this. I just told the guy who answered the phone, you can have all these. The draft was fine, but the reality of the situation is we should have traded up and got Justin Fields. And let's say it like this, okay? The management on this team has egg on their face as far as the quarterback position, because I think they were assuming they were going to get either Kellen Mond or Davis Mills in the third round, and it didn't happen. They were gone. Kyle Trask was gone. All these quarterbacks are gone, and now you're left with we got to get to better our team. You can't tell the fan base, oh, well, we're just going to wait till next year. For what? What's the future? We don't have a quarterback right now. And that's why a lot of people in the fan base privately, and even a lot of you guys, were thinking, you know what? Maybe we should have traded up to get Justin. Maybe we should have. Because the reality situation is, if you look at how the rest of the draft played out, it didn't play out well if you were going to get a quarterback. At least see what he could do. Now, a lot of people can sit up and say, well, it's going to be good for the long. No, you keep telling yourself that. You keep telling yourself. And everybody is feeling empty right now this morning. I know a lot of Redskins fans, a lot of Washington football team fans are feeling empty about the draft looked good. It looked great. It's kind of like you're dating someone and you want to make that step. You want to take it to the next level, but there's no excitement. You know, we there's nothing that's a pizzazz. We don't have a quarterback.
All right, Travis.
And that's the reality.
All right. Thanks for calling. We appreciate you this Sunday morning.
Thanks for that.
Look, here's the deal. I couldn't disagree more. And here's why I disagree. I have been openly critical and almost a hater on this football team for years now, right? Where people are like, what is wrong with this guy? Why does he? Because there was no organization. It's like people just being desperate and running around doing things that made no sense to me. When I listen to what the players that were drafted, what they said, Chip, we've been talking about this and how, oh, yeah, this is the coaching staff that reached out to me the most. Jamin Davis. Oh, we talked for an hour on Zoom past what we were, you know, initially supposed to talk about. Sam Cosmi, they contacted me the most amount of times. Like, these are the things that Deami Brown. Oh, yeah, they asked me the most questions. And, you know, Benjamin St. Juice, they have a plan for me. Like, these are things that the players that were drafted, that they were saying, and not like after they've been here, the moment they were drafted.
Yeah.
Two nights ago.
Yeah. And he mentioned quarterback. I understand quarterback is the sexy pick. It gets you hyped. You got your guy for the future. Remember when you said that about Dwayne Haskins? And we hope he does well wherever he goes. But let me remind everyone, and I'm not coming here to lecture everybody with my finger waving and all. I'm just using facts. Ryan Fitzpatrick, in the last two seasons combined, ranked seventh with a total QBR of 71.5. That's not going to leap off the board as elite, but when you compare to last season with Haskins, Allen, Heinicke, and Alex Smith, the total QBR was 39.5, worse in the NFL. You want to get a quarterback for the future, but you've already improved tenfold with Fitzmagic, Fitztragic. You get what you get. He's again, seventh in the NFL behind guys like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson.
All right, so here's the deal. We're starting to get some traction on this. What was the worst pick in the last, 5 years?
Fans are triggered.
Brendan Dar, my guy. Tough to say second round picks are worse than first. I don't necessarily agree with that. You know, if a guy's just like awful. And while missing on Haskins is disastrous, it's not like there was another QB to draft. Doxson is worse because they traded out of the Fuller pick and William Jackson went two picks later. Man, Doxson was the like.
Everyone thought he was the guy at wide receiver.
Here's the deal.
He had the potential coming out of TCU.
Here's the deal. He's a practice player, right? Where every time all of you guys that are all the practices, props to JP Finley, Ben Standing, all you guys, oh, Josh Doxson, amazing play. I've been down that road before where you go to practice every day and there's a guy that's just, he's dope.
The Jay Gruden goal line fade to Josh Doxson. And death then, taxes and the goal line fade, baby.
And then you get to games and you're like, do it in the game, practice player. That's what Josh Doxson felt like to me, where, man, he, I guess I just didn't like Darius Geis at any point, and I was very open about that. And maybe I wasn't open about knowing about his history at LSU. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just putting Darius Geis here because I didn't like him and he didn't produce. So it's like, if you're going to be an awful human being and bad on a football field, I'm adding you to this list because I'm going to always remind people how whack you were.
On the field production is a big one for me. And even then, he didn't really produce. He showed flashes, but he didn't produce. He was off the field. He was injured.
Yeah, but so looking back at it now, Josh Doxson, man, 81 total catches for his career, 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns for a first-round pick. Did Terry McLaurin eclipse that?
He did.
This year?
He did.
Not he the did. 8 touchdowns, right? Because he had 4.
The yardage.
But the yardage, man. That's what I'm saying. We got a third rounder come in here and do that. We have to take a break. As promised, though, we're going to hear from Sam Cosmi, Diami Brown, and Benjamin St. Juice. Chris Miles with Chip Reher here in this beautiful Sunday morning recapping the draft. Interesting reaction to the poll that's up on Twitter right now. Worst Washington football team draft pick in the last 5 years?
Right now, I'm in the minority.
You said Sua Cravens. Here's the thing. I remember Sua making big plays like his first couple of weeks. Someone that has been covering this team for a while now says, texted me. I don't want to say their names because they didn't like tweet it or anything.
Sure.
Cravens by far actually produced the most. Rookie year was legit. Haskins was terrible. I think anything else here, I don't feel safe sharing on air, right?
Fair.
But though, I think those points are all true. And when it comes to the Washington football team, the person that texted me, I'm going to listen to their opinion over mine. That's truth. That's truth in a matter. Now, here's the other part of it. On our poll so far, Dwayne Haskins at 50%, Josh Doxson at 27%, and Darius Geis at 17%. That's why I love polls. Thanks to everyone that's voted so far. Because
keep them coming.
Here's the thing. For me, I know how I feel about it. And those are the, I threw Sua Cravens in there just because, like, he produced for a year and then was gone. But Haskins feels like the guy that when they drafted him, the expectations were the highest. I feel like Doxson, what they did to get him, like Brendan Dar tweeted, just felt like, oh, so he has to work. You know what I mean? And that's the desperation that I'm talking about. With Doxson, it was like, well, you got to be good because we did this to get you.
Well, that's what Ron said the very first day he walked in the building. If we're, for our first pick, it has to be a solid home run, no doubt pick, which Chase Young has been. And now they go into this draft and they don't need Jamin Davis, to be that home run pick because they hit last year and this guy can become one with time to develop.
Okay, so here's the deal. Let's go to the phone lines before we run out of time. Let's go to Eddie from Centerville online too. Eddie, where are you on this topic?
Hey, what's going on, man? Good morning, guys. Great morning, topic, conversation. So yeah, my vote is for that running back from LSU. I'm not even trying to say his name. This dude was drafted. This dude was drafted to replace the great Adrian Peterson. You know what I mean?
Like
he was there for a purpose. And then I was arguing with Craig Hoffman like a couple years ago when he was saying that guys are so much better. Oh, I said his name. He's so much better, and Adrian Peterson shouldn't be like whatever. Like, bro, Adrian Peterson is still a god. You know, look what he did for the Lions just last year.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, but this dude was brought. Man, he should be number one, like by far.
Okay, Eddie, thanks for calling, and I'm gonna tell you.
Love the passion, Eddie.
Here's the deal. No, for real. Let me just explain this. When they drafted Geis, you know, I worked in New Orleans, so I called a few people. And I was expecting to hear, oh, they got a steal. He's a first-round talent, blah, blah, blah. And criminal terminology was used, which we've seen come to fruition. Not a good dude, bad guy, works out hard. I was like, what? Those are the things that came. And when I say, like, people that I can call, I mean, people I worked with in New Orleans, people who are around LSU that know the real stuff, they're like, man, I would not touch him.
Then look at the guy who came after him, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, went to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
He turned out pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yes.
That's what I was saying.
Larry David, yes. Yes.
And then here's the thing. All right, let's take the grimy, crummy, all of the reports and stuff that I've heard that has not been reported yet. So there's that. What does Geis produce? What did he produce in his time? 245 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, he had 1 good game.
So what I'm saying is, even if you count...
And that was enough for
if
people.
If you just do the production on the field... Just due to production on the field, that he would, I feel like he would be. The thing about Haskins is this. I think Haskins had the tools, but didn't have the mindset and the whatever the stuff that makes NFL quarterbacks what they are. He had all the physical stuff and none of the emotional, the selfie.
He had
the
a
selfie.
Leash. He had a leash at the end of his rookie year because they were so far out of the playoff picture that they just wanted him to go out there and learn how to play NFL football, go into the offseason, work out like you're going to be the captain. Then he goes out, leads that game against the Eagles, everyone thinks Dwayne Haskins has turned a corner.
Have you been to selfie-free zones? You know what I'm saying? When you go somewhere and you know not to take a selfie?
Do you want to hear the truth? Yeah. My wife abuses the selfie. I hate selfies now.
I've always hated
selfies.
She
does it in the car. She will be in the car, and we'll be going to just have a beer, and she just gets a selfie out. Smile, honey. I'm like, no. What? Nobody wants to look inside my car.
Here's what you said. Your wife, not the quarterback of your football team.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right
Carly,
now.
Carly, I love you if you're listening, but come on. Yeah, dial it back.
That's your wife's supposed to do that. Your quarterback's not. I'm going to put up another
He was remarkably
ball.
Hyped that day. I mean, fans were hyping about it.
The game wasn't over.
It wasn't. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying he was hyped.
Imagine a closer.
That got fans going.
Imagine a closer in baseball.
Imagine Mariano Rivera.
I wouldn't, sir.
I had to do it to
you. We got to go to break. I'm about to punch Chip in the face. Chris Miles, Chip Rea here on 106.7. Sir!
Imagine.
You do not mention Mariano Rivera and Dwayne Haskins in the same sentence. We're about to fight.
I was just imagining.
Oh, my God. We got to get focused again, people. So let's go to my man Disco from Laurel. I know Disco's been waiting a long time to say what you got to
it's
say. So say
good.
What you got to say.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
How's it going?
Hey, guys, how you doing? All right. So I'm going to say Dotson, and I'm going to tell you why. You know, if you think back, and I'm going to talk about Scott McLuhan in just a minute, Josh Dotson was really looked at as the heir apparent because we let Pierre Garçon go. We let DeSean Jackson go. So, and then I think eventually we let Crowder. So we went all in on Dotson. Dotson didn't even want to play. I don't even think Dotson wants to play football. He had an ankle injury. Then, you know, some other issues. So I think Josh Dotson was probably the worst simply because it really set us back from a wide receiver standpoint. I also think, you know, Scott McLuhan, I don't think people look at him as he was not good at all in terms of his drafts. You know, he tinkered with the draft. He tried to play around with it like, you know, like it was more of a hobby rather than team building. So you can make a case for all of those, but I would say Josh Dotson. So, you know, and now Haskins, let me say this about Haskins real quick. The thing about Haskins is I think Haskins had a lot of built-in excuses. If you guys remember, when Haskins first was drafted, there were a lot of people saying, oh, he's not drafted into a good situation. He has trash wide receivers. He's got a lame duck coach. I even heard Sean, I mean, no disrespect to the great Sean Springs, but I heard him say, well, you know, it's not a good situation for the young man. And maybe he had a built-in reason to be mediocre. So that, you know.
Well, Disco, hold on. There will be no slander of the great Sean Springs on this here radio station.
Careful.
I appreciate
now.
You.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, here's the thing. Got to stick up for my people. Always. Sean Springs, not Dwayne Haskins.
Right.
Sean mentored Dwayne. He's known him since he was in high school. Helped facilitate Dwayne to Ohio State.
Yeah.
And then Dwayne went to Ohio State and set the single season yards.
He laid the groundwork.
So what I'm saying is, if you call this here radio station, all right, there will be no Sean Springs slander.
Write it in stone.
Yeah, like Sean Springs slander is not acceptable. That's an automatic detention, automatic in-school suspension.
Go to the penalty box. 2 minutes.
We might. That was a other. Otherwise, I kind of like the call.
Go to the penalty box, but thank you.
The other thing that he was saying,
it's like getting in a fight in hockey.
Yeah, but to that point, I think that was a big reason. I don't think Haskins was a first-round talent. I'm going to say that.
The quarterback draft class that year was pretty weak.
I'm going to stick to
Daniel Jones was in that class.
Don't be a Daniel Jones hater yet. The verdict
is in. I'm not hating. I'm saying that he was also in that class. You think in any of these past three drafts, or two.
He's better than Mac Jones. Daniel Jones is better than Mac Jones.
Put Daniel Jones in Alabama, he wins the national championship, yes or no?
Absolutely.
I'm putting
Have you seen Daniel Jones run? They wouldn't even need to throw the ball. He could just pitch to the wide receivers as he's running down the field. I'm joking, but you know what I'm saying here. I think Daniel Jones will eventually, when it's all played out, will have a better career than Mac. I do not believe in Mac Jones. And I know where he went. You're looking at me like he went.
I'm giving you indifference because I don't know what to make of his career. Because Bill Belichick is just getting lazy off his buddy Nick Saban.
I watched that pro day. I'm going to tell you what. When I watched Mac Jones pro day, I kind of went, I'm out. Because.
Did you see the way he walked to the draft to go get picked?
He looks like he got, what was it, our guy?
Pete Haley.
What Pete Haley say?
Pete Haley posted the video. He looks like the vice principal of middle school going to hand out discipline.
Here's the other thing. He has I ate too much cake hips in his suit.
He does. It looked like he was wearing, someone else tweeted at me, he looked like he was Michael Scott when he bought a woman's suit and didn't realize he was wearing a woman's suit.
What? That happened, sir?
In The Office.
Oh, yeah. I didn't.
You don't watch that show?
So here's the thing.
I'm a big Office guy.
I've seen some episodes.
That's okay.
It's one of those things where I've been down a rabbit hole, but I had to go down the Curb rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've watched.
Oh, I've gone down that rabbit hole.
I've watched every episode of Curb twice, maybe three times.
Once for me.
Where's that Joe Pepitone jersey?
Oh.
Do you know I said that to JB Smooth?
You did?
So here's the thing. Here's the story.
Oh, what did he say?
No, true story. You know how like you don't want to ruin anything?
Story time with Chris Miles. Book it.
Story time. Here we go. So I walk in, I see JB Smooth. And you know, he's not like super famous. He's like, if you're into Curb,
if you know who he is, you know who he is.
Right? But he's not like, oh, who is that guy? Ah,
right.
So I see him, I'm like, all right. I ain't gonna say nothing. And then he walked like right next to me. He has his drink. I have my drink.
And what was he drinking?
Why would I look at his drink and be like, I know what he's drinking?
I'm a mixology guy. So I'm just curious.
I am not.
What were you drinking?
What do you think I was drinking? Am I allowed to say that on the show?
I don't know. Don't risk it.
Macallan. Okay.
Nice.
Of course. Get nice on the Macallan, baby. So I look at him. He sees me. I see him. We make eye contact. And I'm like, I don't necessarily want to be like, hey, JB Smooth, because it's also obviously not his real name, mm-hmm. you know? So it's kind of weird.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy.
And I had a few drinks, and I was like, don't mess this up.
Liquid so courage. Like,
so I just said, hey, man, where's my... I didn't say, hey, man. I said something. Right? Where's my Joe Pepitone jersey? He spit his drink out because he just wasn't expecting it. Did not introduce myself. Walked away. Mic drop. Walked away.
That's a life milestone.
That could have gone wrong. He could have looked at me like, what? You corny. But the thing is, if he was Dave Chappelle famous, and everybody says to Dave Chappelle, what a five finger say to the face slap, you know, I'm rich. Like, he hates that.
Yeah.
Whereas JB Smooth appreciates a guy that's watched his work.
Oh, yeah.
Knows something specific from, what was that, the fifth season of a show that he's on.
Yeah, it's like those middle to high tier comedians. They appreciate.
And I kept it moving.
Yeah.
And like, if I saw
you Dion, didn't make it a thing.
If I saw Dion Cole, won't he do it? I would definitely hit him with that.
Yeah.
You don't know what I'm talking about.
I've heard it before. See, I've heard it before. I can't fully appreciate it, but I've heard it before.
This is like Jimi Hendrix. Do you hear Jimmy or do you listen to Jimmy? This is what we just did there.
I listen.
Oh, man.
I'm not on hearing level yet. I just listen to Jimmy because it's good.
But so the Dion Cole joke.
It's like
it's
sitting here. It's over my head, but floating.
Oh, no,
it's
there. It's cultural. And in his stand-up, he's like, won't he do it? You know what I'm saying.
Sean knows what you're saying?
Sean gets what I'm saying.
I'm the one who's like semi-missing out here.
Yeah. And
that's okay.
And
I'm here
for
it.
That's the joke that Dion Cole made when he did Won't He Do It. Mm. So it's about church and
gotcha.
Know, place that you've probably been more frequently than I've been.
Not recently.
All right, we'll get back to the NFL draft. In fact, we're going to focus here on this draft, hear from some of the guys, react to what they were saying. So if you're a big fan of the Washington football team draft and how they did, hit us up, 1-800-636-1067. Let us know how you feel about the players that they drafted. We're going to hear from them over the next hour. I said it earlier, Chip. You said Cheeseman's your favorite person that they drafted.
I'm going to plant that flag.
I'm going guy I'm rooting for the most who I think will have an impact. You know, the third rounders. This team has nailed the third rounders over the like past decade. Jordan Reed, Antonio Gibson, Terry McLaurin. It's like, oh, we want an offensive weapon? Let's not draft them in the first or second round. Like, let's not geis them. Let's not doxin them. Let's wait to the third round and hit these grand slam home runs. And De'Ami Brown, not setting the expectations that high for him, but I think his speed coming in with a veteran quarterback like Ryan Fitzpatrick, having a group in front of him where he can come in, learn how to be a pro, and he's probably going to be open a lot, and he's like this insurance policy. I like him. Mm. Here's the interview with Logan Paulson from the other night we had. De'Ami, my guy, man. Well, congratulations, first and foremost. One thing I know is that, A, you're faster than me, right? Two, that you had, more than 10 catches over 50 yards. That's the most in college football over the last 2 years, man. Tell us about your ability to make those big plays and what you see in defenses that allows you to do it.
Oh, man, I just always try to use my speed as an advantage, you know. Just watching film over and over again and learning what a DB does against, you know, other people just to use it to my advantage. It definitely works for me. So that's pretty much what I do.
Awesome, brother. So, again, congratulations. We're so happy to have you here in Washington. I know the fan base is happy to have an explosive playmaker. Can you talk about some of the other nuance to your route running game? I mean, obviously people know about the big plays. That's what makes the headlines. But the thing I like about you is, like, your ability to kind of run a full route tree. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Oh, yes, sir. So pretty much, you know, as y'all know, past couple of years, I've been on the same side, been running the same routes, and it's been very limited. But I always worked on, you know, every route you know, moving inside the slot, going to the right side continuously, you know, during the season, even during the offseason as well. So just being able to do that and showing everybody that I'm not just one-dimensional.
Right.
It's something that, you know, I can just show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and when – I guess the funniest thing is when I saw your comp when you got drafted, it was Terry McLaurin, you know, who's the star here in D.C. Man, tell us how you're similar to Terry.
Man, I definitely see us as, you know, both speed guys. We can pretty much do whatever. And it's very hard for DBs to guard us. So, you know, just us being able to run routes and understanding what's going on at the same time is something that we can use to our advantage as well. So just comparing him is pretty much amazing.
That's awesome, man. Is there anybody on the Washington football team that you're excited to meet? I remember when I was a rookie, I was excited to meet Donovan McNabb. Are you excited to meet anybody on the roster?
Man, so actually one of my old teammates, Cole Holcomb.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's definitely one that I want to, you know, see again.
That's awesome, man. That's great.
That's pretty funny. I like how you said someone you already know, though. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like, man, I can't wait to, because when Adrian Peterson was here, you'd see that, like, guys are like, oh, my God, is AP. But now he's like, nah, I want to see my guy when I get back
right
there, man. I absolutely love it. And when you think of, you know, what you've been through as a player, and when you see this team and what they're trying to accomplish, right? Like,
right,
winning in a winning culture. You know, Ron Rivera mm-hmm. is with the Carolina Panthers for years, so I know he's here in D.C. now, and it's college and the NFL. But it's that feeling of trying to put it all together. From your mentality, what do you feel like you bring to the table outside of your skill set?
Oh, man, winning is everything, you know, so that's pretty much my mentality. I love to compete, you know. I hate to lose. And with Washington, you know, trying to, you know, build and regroup, and me coming in, I feel like I can help a lot. And then just the team as well, you know, I see a bright future with the team as well. So I think we'll definitely start winning more games.
Yeah, well, we'd love to hear that, obviously. And so I asked Cosme this same thing, and I'm always curious about this. What was your draft process like? Were you meeting with hundreds of teams, or you meeting with one team? Did the Washington football team even talk to you, or was this a total surprise? Can you just walk us through that a little bit?
Oh, man, so I pretty much talked to every team that was. from the start of, I want to say, February until the end of this week, I talked to every team. I talked to Washington one time.
Oh, really?
Definitely, yeah, so definitely was, you know, it was unexpected for me because I only, you know, talked to him one time. A few other teams talked to me more than twice. So, you know, I'm thinking it's one of them, but it definitely caught me off guard.
So I'm just going to say this in this way, right? Because where you're drafted, 84th pick, you know, congratulations. But you were looked at as a second round talent. We look at the stats. Mm-hmm. They all point to that. And I think, oh, the Washington football team lucked out. I mean, Matt Miller, the NFL draft scout for ESPN, goes home run. Like, the Washington football team, it's lucky that they got him where they got him. But for you, do you feel any slight not going in the second round where some experts projected you to go?
For me, it's just, you know, I just have to look past it. You know, I did have that grade. I was handed out a lot, but, you know, since it wasn't in that time period, you know, I can't control anything about that. But now, you know, Washington, you know, they believe in me, so I'm all for it with them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Tell me the difference between combine speed, because Logan and I were talking about this. We're like, yeah, why is this guy still available? And we're seeing, like, oh, well, I guess 4.46, which I guess is no longer like super fast, which to me sounds like blazing speed. Oh, I guess it's not as, but football speed, the stat I threw out about you being able to beat anyone who's in front of you. Tell us the difference between that game speed, making plays, and then, you know, trying to relate that into a combine workout.
Oh, man, it's totally different. You know, the combine, you only train it for 40 yards. You know, so it's, you only have to run at least once or twice. But game speed, you have to run that fast continuously for 50-plus plays. You know, it's not just one or two. It's 50-plus. And a lot of people can't run that long, so that's the biggest difference.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like, that's what Jerry Rice used to say, right? You got to do it. Got to do it 50 times in a game, right? And he's one of the best that ever did it. So sounds like you got a good mindset towards it. Yeah,
absolutely. I feel like that's the perfect answer. So, hey, congratulations again. We look forward to having you here with the Washington football team. And I am sure that the reigning NFC East champs are going to look to repeat with all this talent they're bringing in. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Congratulations.
Chip, what did you think from that interview? Because obviously I talked to him with Logan the other day.
Yeah, I really like his attitude towards football. I think it fits Ron Rivera's mindset and what Scott Turner wants to do offensively. And I love that connection to Jerry Rice that Logan just made about Diami and how you have to do it 50 times in a game. It's all about mastering your craft. And in the NFL, when you focus on football, that's what you do. And those guys that work hard, Diami Brown, he sounds good. He's got to show it on the field. I think we can believe in that.
Yeah, I mean, like I just put out on Twitter, I said, which Washington football team pick are you most excited to see? I picked Diami Brown. Mm-hmm. Who do you have? And, you know, we're going to actually hear from the other guys at the top of the hour. I think, again, the reason I'm so excited about him is there's no pressure. You know, he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. It doesn't seem like a dominant one. It's just like, oh, yeah, I thought I was a second-round talent, and I had to wait till the end of the third round. You know, I'm good with that. But second-round talent, great speed. You know, these days, I guess blinding speed is higher, right?
Yeah.
Good size, 6 foot, 190. Different than, like, these like Rondale Moore was, like, 5'8", 160. And Devontae
good percentage on contested catches.
That's the other thing.
That's a huge thing in the NFL these days.
And you know what fits magic, baby?
Yeah.
He's going to throw it up there. So he's going
to – the bearded rifle.
He's going to get opportunities.
Yeah.
And I think with this defense, having a guy like that that could just make plays that they're going to be focused on Terry McLaurin.
They're and Curtis Samuel.
On Gibson. This is what I mean. When he gets that opportunity,
Logan
I think
Thomas.
He's going to be running down the field wide open at points.
I want to see what John Bates is able to do.
I was waiting for you to mention Mr. John Bates.
Samus Reyes – and John Bates, it's between those two is who's going to be the second tight end.
Yeah, and maybe they keep three. We have to take a break, and we'll continue to talk about the draft picks from this year. We're excited, and even guys that weren't selected, we might have to spend some time on them when we return here on 106.7. Maybe you're right. 2019 draft, I give B+. And you know the only reason it's even in the B's?
Solid B for me.
Because of Haskins. Like, Sweat and McLaurin, you're getting an A, but then it's like Bryce Love.
Still haven't seen him play.
Haskins.
Pierce Bakker didn't work out. Kelvin Harmon, we still haven't seen him do anything meaningful in snaps.
Do you see what I mean? Like, so, look, B++. Almost an A-. Last year's draft, Young, Gibson, Cam Curl. Right now, A- for me.
Yeah. Gibson, Young, and Curl are carrying the rest of the class.
If Sadiq Charles can do anything, he can go out there and be good.
They get Sam Cosmi, and now you wonder how that's going to work out.
But that's what I mean, like just judging the draft on its own.
You think Cosmi is the guy right now because at least he's healthy. He can get out there.
And the other part is I feel like your odds are better. So you draft Charles, now you draft Cosmi. You just need one of those two
to hit.
And here's the crazy thing. If both of them get better and you can utilize both of them, maybe, you know, if you have an injury situation with Morgan Moses and you move.
Well, think of it this way, too. Now that you bring back Ereck Flowers, which, by the way, that is the most underrated deal of free agency this offseason.
It is crazy.
It's so underrated how that happened, that he comes back taking $1 million less, yet getting $6 million from the Dolphins. And you plug him in at left guard or at one of the guard spots immediately.
Well, the crazy thing about him is like, was it 2 years ago? It was like Ereck Flowers. You remember? It was like, I don't know.
I went to college with him and was doing his video as a camera operator for the team at the time. And I remember when he was coming into the draft, everyone was like, he's going to be a great left tackle. I was like, yeah, what about his knees? Because he can't bend him. He can't bend him the way a tackle needs to, and I said he needed to be a guard. When he came here and I talked to him then, I was like, are you comfortable being at guard? He goes, I can't wait. And look what he did.
Interesting perspective, man. That was some insight there, Chip.
Little bit.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Let's get some insight from our guy, Sam Cosmi, who You know, multiple sport athlete.
Yeah.
First question I have for you is, man, I see 6'7", 314, but you came into college at 260. What was it like, you know, putting on that weight and maintaining all your skills, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tedious process. I got down with my strength coach, Coach McKnight, and, you know, we put a nutrition plan and a weight gaining plan, and we stuck to it. I told him I didn't want to be a fat player. I wanted to be able to move and do all that. So going forward, that's kind of how it took throughout the years, and that's how I was able to put the weight on.
Dude, I just want to say congratulations. This has to be such an exciting time for you and your family. That's I'm so happy for you. It's cool to kind of be in the NFL for the first time. That's fantastic. The question I have for you is, what was your draft process like, man? I know everyone's experience is a little different, like especially with the COVID stuff going on. How many teams did you meet with? Did you get a sense from the Washington football team that they were excited about having you, or was it kind of out of the blue? Because I've heard that is the case for some guys.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Washington, I spoke to them the most out of this whole process. I had about 3 calls with them, and I could tell that they're interested. But, you know, everybody was keeping their cards close to their chest, so I couldn't really understand, you know, who was thinking what or what was happening, just kind of looking forward and seeing what was going to happen. But, you know, that's kind of how it was throughout this whole process.
Sam, before you came on, we were actually just raving about your athleticism, man. And I was telling Logan about your time as a soccer player. I was like, what? This guy is a lineman and he played soccer. Tell us more about that, man, and what you were like. I heard you got a lot of red cards out there.
Yeah, I used to be a striker, and then I was starting to get big and put me back to defense. And I was getting way too many red cards and just slide tackling and taking out kids, and they put me in a goalie, and I told my mom when I was 9 years old, hey, I want to play aggressive sport, I want to play football.
Nice.
And she was like, oh, are you sure? I was like, yeah, let's go for it. And that's kind of how my journey started, was through that.
That's awesome, man. And you know, like, this is such an exciting time for you, and gosh, it's so cool. So anyway, I really wanted to ask you, in terms of your game, we talked about your athleticism and all of those traits you bring to the table. What are some things that you feel you need to work on coming here to Washington, and have they talked about your role with the team at all?
I really don't know what my role is as of right now and what they're planning on doing. I'm excited to see what comes down the line. I think when it comes to getting with Coach Masco and figuring that out and talking to him on what I need to work technique-wise,
sure,
or how he wants to coach me before I say anything, and figuring that aspect out. So talking to him first and going through that process, I think it's the first thing I need to do.
So I'm assuming you've talked to him a little bit. Do you like him? I'm sure you're not going to say anything bad about him, but hey, do you guys have like a good rapport so far? You said you had 3 calls, or is it you're still kind of building that relationship?
No, it's been 3 different calls. I had a one-on-one with Coach Rivera and you know, 2 other calls, and I had a call with him, and I really enjoyed our call, and it was a really, really good call. And, you know, just getting to learn him more and figure out, you know, him, obviously, and have building that relationship going forward. But now I'm excited to work with him, and I'm excited to be coached by him.
I saw you also had a touchdown catch versus West Virginia, baby. Hey, any trick plays? We going to see you out there catching touchdowns? Because, man, with that, what is it? You ran a 4.85 40. I mean, I think we could get you some distance out there, man.
Yeah, I mean, if you throw me a ball, I'm sure going to tote that thing to the end zone. So, yeah, I mean, that's always in the package with me. So if they ever want to bring that out, they can.
Yeah, so I guess man, just congratulations on coming to Washington, brother. And so when are you coming out here? Do you have a plan? Are you going to get on the private jet tonight, or what's the scoop?
Probably just going to get out when rookie minicamp starts.
Oh, so, yeah, because it's COVID, right? So no press conferences, nothing crazy for you. Awesome, man. That's great.
So, yeah. Thank you.
Certainly. Sam Cosmi, thank you for stopping by here with Team 980. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys so much.
Congrats, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Second round pick for the Washington football team, Sam Cosmi. Yeah, that's from the other night. Obviously, it was on Team 980 with him right after he got drafted. So, Chip, I think my favorite part of that interview was the fact that he played soccer and he could get up and down the field, and his footwork is amazing, and he caught a touchdown pass.
Yeah.
And at 4.85, when you think about that speed, that's not like blazing, but that's tight end speed.
Yeah.
That is a regular tight end speed that you got at left tackle now. You can do some things with that.
He can scoot.
Yeah.
He's got that speed. And what I think stands out most about him is he's got this drive to be great at what he does. And even though I heard Mel Kiper say that sometimes he gets blocks off a little soft, I'm like, you can work on technique. You can get better. And the offensive line's pretty solid. So as long as he's able to progress at a nice rate, he'll be fine and he'll do well.
And that seems to be the biggest knock on him is his technique.
Yeah.
Is that his technique?
His physical traits are all there.
Ideal. You know what? Andy from Sterling has been on hold for a while. So let's go to line one to our guy, Andy in Sterling. What you got
to
say?
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
The woods. What's up, Andy?
Yeah, man, just getting back to that, one of the worst draft picks of past 10 years, you guys neglected to mention that former All-American Alabama linebacker picked in the second round, Ryan Anderson, who I don't think ever saw the playing field because of injuries or bad attitude or whatever.
He did. He saw the field quite a bit.
Six sacks.
Did he?
Yeah. I mean, he didn't have the stats that you want to see, but he was on the field.
No, well, I think he's one of the worst picks. Now, going forward in the draft, I think this town is going to miss the opportunity that they had to pick up Justin Fields. This is going to be haunting them for years, if not maybe a decade.
Okay, here's a question for you. For Justin Fields, would you have given up, let's say, Sam Cosmi, De'Ami Brown, and Jamin Davis? Would you have done that for Justin Fields?
I would. I would have given up this year's number one. I would have given up both number threes and maybe a number two for next year. Equivalent to what the Bears gave up to get him, which wasn't a whole lot.
They gave up two first-rounders, essentially, because they swapped a fourth-rounder for 2022 and a fifth-rounder. All right, Andy, thanks for calling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
He makes good points. I think if Justin Fields kept falling and nobody traded up, then this becomes a much more sensible conversation. But he wasn't going to drop that far.
I said it
you
before the draft.
You and I talked about it before as well.
Yeah, I said it before the draft.
He's not
going
to drop that
it.
Far.
If he fell to like 15.
Then you start thinking about it.
But 11 and what they got for him, I'm not giving up that much for him.
Yeah.
Now, I like Justin Fields. I don't like him that much. I like Trey Lance at 3.
That's a project.
That was a steep price tag.
49ers is a good place for him behind Jimmy G.
Yeah, that situation. Let's see how Jimmy G reacts to it because that seems like a volatile situation.
Could be.
But I guess the point that I'm making with Fields and our last caller, no, I'm not giving it. Like, to get Justin Fields, what would I have given up?
They gave up two firsts and two fifths. Well, one fifth and one fourth.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. But for the Washington football team, that's why I named the players I named.
Right.
Like,
those are the guys
you gift up. These are names now.
Yeah.
And I think Benjamin St. Juice could provide something for the Washington football team.
Mm-hmm.
I think De'Ami Brown will. And with needing offensive line help, like, you got linebacker and offensive line in the first two rounds. If one of the two works out, home run. If they... double the right. if both of them work out, you know, two run shot.
Yeah.
And you go from there. But I think the rest of the squad, like, you're getting positions of need to have depth.
Yeah.
And I think that was missing this year.
And protect the guy who's going to be orchestrating the offense. If you give up a second round, you lose out on Samuel Cosmi, and now you have to see if Sadiq Charles is going to hit. And if he doesn't, then the blind side's going to be wide open for a Justin Fields if you were to trade up for him.
And the word is he's not ready for, like, tomorrow. You're not going to plug and play.
He's raw.
And he went to I don't know.
I wouldn't say he's raw, but that's what people will say about Justin Fields, is that he still needs to be groomed a little bit.
Yeah. So,
but do you think Andy Dalton is going to groom Justin Fields there? No. Justin Fields, I think that entire media base is thinking he's going to be the starter week one.
That situation feels desperate, and I hope it works out for him.
I do hope so.
Even though I think the Washington football team at this point has more weapons, has a more solidified situation, and it's because of what this current regime is doing.
Yes. That's why Ryan Fitzpatrick, with all the teams he talked to, said this is where he's coming, because he feels good about the locker room.
Our first poll results are in.
Here we go.
We'll reveal that when we return here on 106.7 The Fan. On another day, we'll get to the Wizards and Russell Westbrook and history and the Nats winning a couple in a row. And
Heartbreaker.
Josh Bell finding his swing. Got the hot bat, baby.
Two Trey heartbreakers last night. Wizards and Caps. Oy.
The Caps. Oh, yeah. I was talking about the Nats.
I know you're talking about the Nats.
I'm talking about the hot teams, baby. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Even in a loss for the Wizards, like, they couldn't defend Luka Doncic. Not what we're doing here today. But just my point is, at least they're a team that could be playing in the postseason, which is extended in the NBA this year.
The play-in rules are wonky to me.
Really? It's just because of COVID teams. The Wizards are like the epitome of that, where they suffered early in the season because of COVID-19 protocol.
Oh, that's fine. I'm just saying the 9-10 to play into the 7-8 winner. Yeah. Like that, it's new.
It's new, and you know what? It seems to be drawing interest and keeping teams from tanking.
Yeah.
I think that's what the NBA has been struggling with. Is like, if you look at the Wizards a few weeks ago, almost a month ago, like, oh, maybe they should just shut it down. Shut down Bradley Beal.
Don't tell that to Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. But that's my point. When you have the play-in situation, it's not dire.
Right.
You guys can get back into this.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the NBA is paying close attention to that. Worst Washington football team draft pick in the last 5 years. The poll results are in. Without looking, Chip, what do you think? Haskins, Geis, Doxson, Cravens. Put them in your order that you think the people responded.
I think it goes Haskins, Doxson, Geis, Cravens.
You would be correct, sir.
Woo!
47% of you got this right. Dwayne Haskins is by far 47%. Josh Doxson, I thought, was a bit low at 25%. Because Darius Geis, I don't think the expectations were that high. I think what the organization was doing, everyone was like, what are they doing? Adrian Peterson, 1,000 yards, like, he's our guy. What are you doing? That's how everyone felt. With Doxson, it was like, oh, this guy looks like he's really good. Okay, what's going to – and Haskins, I mean, when you draft a quarterback in the first round, you expect him not to be a turnover machine and a fumbling machine and taking selfies.
You expect playoffs.
And going to the gentleman's club.
You expect playoffs.
Playoffs?
Yes, playoffs.
Yeah, no, not
happening. But it didn't happen.
What's crazy is...
It happened with Alex Smith.
And it's not like Alex Smith put up world-beater numbers compared to Haskins.
He just managed the game.
I mean, he threw more interceptions. The numbers across the board were similar. It's just that he wasn't fumbling. And
he was managing
the timing of the turnovers, man. I mean, Haskins was like, oh, we have a chance to win? Let's throw this game to the other team.
Man, if you don't like that, get ready for some Ryan Fitzpatrick, baby. Oh, some soul-crunching interceptions.
But at least you get Fitz magic with that.
Yeah.
And with the, I don't know, man, this receiving group, and if the offensive line, what were they, graded sixth last year by Pro Football Focus?
Yeah.
So if they improve on that, Fitz, maybe Fitzy gets his first trip to the postseason.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Yes, I can.
That was the stat that blew my mind.
It did not. If you ever watched him play
there were
football,
a couple teams that
never
they had a chance.
I'm saying it's like
Dolphins and Bucks both had a chance.
Okay. But when you watch him, you go, first of all, how crazy, you and I have talked about this before, the fact that he was a 7th round pick and he's replacing Alex Smith, who was the first overall pick in that same draft, and like he's lasted longer, has more career touchdowns. This notion that Alex Smith was a Hall of Famer was asinine. Silly. And if anyone brings it up again, that is like the silliest thing.
It's a stretch conversation.
It's
that guy who shows up to the water cooler trying to act impressive. Hey, do you think Alex Smith's going to be a Hall of Famer? And everyone who knows their stuff is like, okay.
There's no way.
Great guy, great Hall of Fame person. Person. Emphasis on person. The stats, we'll give it a couple years.
Yeah, there's no way. The stats, where do you think he ranks in career touchdowns, by the way?
He's not even in the 20s.
Keep going.
50s.
He's not in the top 50. That's when I was like, okay, I'm out on this. In the current landscape of the NFL, when you're the first overall pick at quarterback,
and you're being compared to Aaron Rodgers.
And let's not do that.
But that's the trick of the NFL draft, right? The first and second quarterbacks are always linked together single draft.
I'm gonna find this stat. I'm gonna tell you this. I bet you if you put Aaron Rodgers' top five touchdown seasons, it's more touchdowns than Alex Smith has had in his career. I'm looking this up right now. So his top seasons for Aaron Rodgers' touchdowns: 45, 40, 48. Yeah, it's an absolute yes.
Yeah.
Rodgers had more touchdowns in his top five seasons than Alex Smith had in his whole career.
All right, and let's also consider this with the first pick, quarterback off the board, second quarterback off the board since Alex Smith and Aaron Rodgers are here. Let's look at Dwayne Haskins most recently. The first quarterback taken in that draft was Kyler Murray. Second was Daniel Jones. So already those last two guys were going to lose out to Kyler Murray. I mean, we've already seen that. Like, it's always going to be the comparison for years to come. Are you going to tell me that Daniel Jones is playing as well as Kyler Murray?
I just did the math. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Alex Smith, for his career, 199 career touchdowns.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, the top five, you know, years in his career, 210 touchdowns.
That's a lot of touchdowns.
Bro.
That's a lot of touchdowns.
Oh, man, that... I think that has to go down as one of the worst decisions ever to take Alex Smith over Aaron Rodgers. Mm. Has to. It played out. And that's the thing. We're talking about it, 16 years later? Like,
That's the quarterback in the NFL. That's why it's the most important position in football. And every year, the first three quarterbacks are always compared against each other. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson are going to be compared together. Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa. Except Justin Herbert looked like the best quarterback in that threesome.
Yeah, and
Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen.
Okay, so going now that
Mitchell Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes, not even close.
Lamar Jackson also, by the way.
Yeah, but he wasn't like in the first four.
Why was he not?
Don't make me go there.
I'm just saying, like, what? In retrospect, what? So if you look, all right, rank the quarterbacks from this draft, how you think. Now you see where they went. You see who they're playing for, the whole thing. How do you think they rank in 10 to 15 years from now?
The guys that I just listed.
No, this year's draft.
This year's draft? Quarterbacks?
Yeah.
I have a hot take. I think, and I mean this with all sincerity, Trey Lance gets to the playoffs before any of them.
Total career. Like, if you're going to put their career in perspective when they're done.
I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have the best numbers.
All right, so he's one. Who's two?
Zach Wilson. He's playing for the Jets, who are in rebound mode. And the Jaguars are too, but the Jags already have a good plan in place. They got Travis Etienne to pair him back up, and they have weapons around him in an offensive line. And their defense is good.
All right, so who do you think is going to have the third best career?
Trey Lance. I think it's Trey Lance.
Okay, keep going.
Justin Fields.
And Mac, so in the order they were drafted.
Yeah, in the order were drafted.
There's no way that's going to happen.
I don't think it is. The only reason that I think Trey Lance has a better career is because he's primed to have a better start.
Here's how I think it's going to go. Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance. I'm 50-50 on this.
Oh,
Justin Fields.
Okay.
Zach Wilson. And then we'll never talk about Mac Jones again.
Yeah.
After the draft,
it's a coin flip.
It's not a coin flip. He's got childbearing hips in that suit, man.
So did Tom Brady. That's what everyone will say.
Tom Brady did not have.
That's what every detractor will say.
Tom Brady did not have childbearing hips.
Did you see his draft picture?
Yeah, he didn't have childbearing hips.
He looked like an average Joe off the street.
First of all, no, and that's a misnomer. First of all, Tom Brady, he looked like a different version of a stellar at 6'4", the broad shoulders. It's just he didn't have APAC abs and rips, like body, low body fat percentage. But he didn't have childbearing hips in his suit. Tom Brady looks good in his suit. Always has, always will. All right? That's what I'm saying. It's a little hyperbolic on that.
All right.
Chris Miles, Chip Breer, we disagree on the whole Mac Jones body like Tom Brady, man. Tom Brady could hoop and everything. People trip. He's 6'4".
He can also throw a Lombardi trophy from one boat to another.
He's different. He's a different bird. We'll be back. And you know what? We're going to hear from Benjamin St. Juice. At some point, we're here for the next hour. We'll play that interview here on 106.7 The Fan. I don't know if Justin Fields is going to be great.
Yeah.
I think he will be.
Chicago could take that risk.
Well, they're desperate. They're trying to save their job.
Yeah.
And this is the point that I've made several times. I'm going to say it again. It doesn't feel like this franchise is desperate anymore, and it's a great, refreshing thing that's happening here.
Yeah.
Eagles, desperate, trading up, trading back, looking like they're going to fight inside the draft room. Giants looking patient, trading back to get a wide receiver in you know, barren arms out there. But it just, no. Like, not going to get Justin Fields. So what I'm saying to you is this. We were looking back at some of the previous drafts, quarterback situations, and how risky it is.
Yes.
Where you look at it and you're like, yo, they drafted who when they could have had what? My thing is I look at Patrick Mahomes, and I'm like, I don't remember what they were saying about Mahomes before the draft, but I remember Lamar Jackson. I remember Lamar Jackson being just a magnificent college football player.
Deshaun Watson was in that class, too.
And
people knew Deshaun Watson was going to be good.
And I'm like, who is Mitchell Trubisky? Let me Google.
Played for North Carolina for 1 year.
This is what I'm saying. And so when I look at this draft, I go, how do I put these guys when I think their future is? So tell me some of the guys you were looking at, Chip,
after,
what you think.
After 2017, I just was saying first, second, third quarterbacks taken are always compared against each other. The list between 2016 and 2012 is pretty wild. Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Paxton Lynch. Jared Goff now at the Lions, made it to the Super Bowl. Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate, had to watch Nick Foles win a Super Bowl for his team.
We might see a resurrection.
I think Wentz will resurrect his career, but that's wild. 2015, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, first two quarterbacks taken. Nobody in that class has done anything significant except for Jameis Winston becoming the first quarterback to throw 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. Eating those losses. 2014, Blake Bortles.
Bortles service.
Johnny Manziel. Teddy Bridgewater. The only successful quarterbacks to come out of that draft were Jimmy Garoppolo and Logan Thomas.
I think Teddy Bridgewater has been a decent backup.
He's been solid. But in terms of like playoffs, getting somewhere.
And you mean Logan Thomas is in as a tight end.
Correct.
Being converted.
Yes. All right. Yes. He found the loophole. 2013, EJ Manuel, Geno Smith, Mike Glennon.
You know what that draft was?
That was a rough draft.
It felt that way, though.
Yeah, it did. And then we get to the one that I wanted to arrive at. 2012, Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III. That is the last time Washington football.
Oh, no, there was another quarterback in the draft.
Well, I know. There was Russell Wilson.
There you go.
But I'm saying 1, 2, and 3. Like, they're always compared against each other. And that was the last time Washington football had, like you discussed, a refreshing, no despair, no desperation feel. Like, they got the quarterback they wanted. He went out and he performed. And they were going to compare between Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III for the rest of their career. But injuries for both those guys derailed their careers. And ever since then, up until about 2017, there were no surefire, these guys are going to be superstars.
I feel like Trevor Lawrence has that thing.
Like, three quarterbacks in this draft, I think, have superstar qualities.
Who are the three you think?
Lawrence, Wilson, and Fields. I think Lance can be, but again, he's still raw.
Woo!
Justin Fields is
I would expand that to four.
To four? All right, I'll give you four then.
I would put Lance in there.
Okay.
Because I think Kyle Shanahan knows more about quarterbacks than I do.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, he turned Kirk Cousins into a Pro Bowler.
Exactly. And Kirk Cousins can't run like Lance. And apparently, you know, the 30 touchdowns, the one interception, and I think like his worst, and I know the competition, blah, blah, blah. But like his worst game, he still threw for like 200 yards and ran for like 200. And I'm like, so in his worst game, he just ran the ball everywhere.
Right.
Because they were like, we're dropping back. We're not going to let you pass. And he had some incompletions.
Take those free yards. That's how Patrick Mahomes has made his career as stellar as it is. Because when they're trying to protect the pass, I'll take those 10, 15 yards. Sure.
Even 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Get out of bounds. Stay healthy.
That's free money.
Yeah, and that's where I'm like, I think if
that's what Taylor Heinicke was doing in the playoff game, because he was starting to throw and dime. And I'm not saying he's any of these quarterbacks, but there is a precedence in the NFL today that if you're a mobile quarterback and you can throw the ball, you can get five easy yards just by running.
And the NFL has changed, because if you listen to, I think it was Scott McLuhan that drafted Alex Smith, right, originally?
Yes.
Well, yeah, and he was saying that if he, the NFL was what it is today, that he would have used Alex Smith's legs more often.
That's what Jim Harbaugh did when he was with the 49ers. He got Alex Smith moving, then he found out Colin Kaepernick could run better. He went with Kaepernick and got him to a Super Bowl.
And that's, I guess what I'm saying is, Kyle Shanahan gets that.
Yeah.
Oh, he gets it.
And he's had two quarterbacks now that weren't mobile, and he got pretty far with them but couldn't finish the deal.
And he's got some weapons.
Yes. Lots. George Kittle, man. George Kittle. Ugh.
That's kind of where I'm saying, as far as like when I think of who's going to come out, who's in position to be a star immediately. I don't know, man. I think Lance. I definitely think Trevor Lawrence, just because he is Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. Especially in the AFC South, it's kind of a toss-up.
It's going to be hard for Justin Fields.
It's very
I think
hard.
He went to a terrible situation.
The NFC North is a gauntlet.
He went to a bad situation,
yep.
I think it would have been...
Allen Robinson definitely was cheers and some drinks when he heard Justin Fields was coming to town.
I feel like for Fields, if he would have slipped to 15, that would have been better for him.
Maybe.
I think Mac Jones at going to... That is just... they deserve each other. Belichick and Mac Jones. If Mac Jones is a star, I'm going to eat so much crow on that. I just don't see it.
Remember when Washington was the Alabama pipeline? Now it's New England.
What do you mean was? He was. It still is for the defense. You want the defensive players coming out of Bama.
That's but now lately, it's the Patriots. They saw what we were doing.
Yeah, they did. They were like, oh, I know what we do. We're going to copy them. All right, speaking of defensive players for the Washington football team, we return. We're going to... play back that interview with Benjamin St. Juice, the draft pick for the Washington football team the other night. Third round pick. He's got some chutzpah. He's got some personality.
Some chutzpah.
Yeah, man. Wait till you hear from Benjamin here on 106.7. The draft, great. Boom, been over these guys. We'll talk about them some more. But it's the undrafted guys that I was like, hold on. They're really doing their homework.
Yeah.
The Chilean basketball players, if you Google the name Samus Reyes, what comes up is Chilean, not Seabass, but Chilean basketball player. And I'm like, what? Look him up. Logan Paulson works out with him.
You seen this dude dunk the basketball? His head gets to the rim.
6'5", 265.
His head gets to the rim.
Here's the thing, though. Like, you say that?
He throws it down.
A lot of NFL players do. Because they're so strong.
Yeah.
Like, and I guess this is what I'm saying. He fits the part. I don't think he's something outrageous. I think he fits the bill. Like, Cam Chancellor can dunk like that. Tyrod Taylor.
Right.
The list is long. But think about those guys.
Right. So I'm glad we finally brought up Samus Reyes, because I have the most immediate comparison that has found some level of success in the NFL as a former basketball player. Mo Alley Cox for the Indianapolis Colts. He came out of VCU, big basketball school, never played a lick of football in his life. He's a freak athlete, huge, gets in the NFL, contributes immediately. And they brought him in immediately to be a blocking tight end. And then eventually they found out, oh, he has pretty good hands. And he had one of the best catches in 2019.
And that's kind of the point about this team, because they went and drafted a tight end that has great speed, right, that you really like.
John Bates.
And they also have Samus Reyes. So I look at it like, you add both of those pieces, and if Reyes doesn't work out, he doesn't. But what did he went on that like 10-day workout deal or whatever his 10-week workout program and went to Florida's pro day. I mean, you really have to be on it to find someone like that before other teams hop on it.
It was the International Player Pathway Program.
Yeah, that thing. Okay. And then here's the other person. Jarrett Patterson, we talked about him some more, and I threw the numbers at you. We had a 400-yard, 6-touchdown game, had over, 1,200 yards and 20 touchdowns, whatever, in the season.
Yeah, don't bat an eye at that. Those are some impressive stats.
Make sure I get those numbers right.
Yeah.
That seems like
fact check yourself.
I
that's
got
good.
Those
good
wrong.
Practice. Good practice.
Those seem a bit wrong. Let's get this right.
Right.
But the point that I'm making is these are the undrafted guys. And I think that the odds that one of them contributes high.
It would probably be Patterson, you'd think.
But that's the thing.
Or Reyes blocking. I really do believe deep down, and I hope I'm wrong, that Samus Reyes is a blocking tight end because of his physicality.
Looks like he's a receiving tight end.
He does look like one, but when you have John Bates, who was the second best tight end catching the football, then that kind of gives me the indication that that's where they're going to go. Because you have Logan Thomas, John Bates, and Samus Reyes.
You also have depth.
You have depth. Yes, that's huge.
That's the thing that they did tremendously.
And possible upgrades on Jeremy Sprinkle.
Yeah. I mean, John Bates, 6'5", 250, has the size to develop into a quality blocker is the line on him. Something this team needs, but is a pass-catching weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Size and speed immediately. And you got him in the fourth round. Like, that's the ideal fourth round pick right there.
It makes sense.
Yeah. So Jarrett Patterson, you're saying if you're a gambling man, you're putting your money on.
Sitting at the blackjack table, I'm ready to throw down.
Who's gonna have the impact first, Jarrett, or who's gonna get the opportunity to have an impact? I'm going Jarrett Patterson. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. As an undrafted free agent, I think so.
Man,
I just don't know where Reyes finds the field. In a scheme, like as part of the game plan in the passing game. It's Logan Thomas. I think John Bates has more proven record passing the football. At least with Patterson, you can maybe get him going on special teams, maybe get him in a package where you've got Gibson, Samuel, and him.
Ideal role, number two running back in a committee. That's a great, for an undrafted guy, that's what they're saying before the draft about him. That number two running back in a committee.
Yeah, because McKissick is the third and one. That's his role, is the check down and the third and one. So then you've got two guys who've got playmaking ability.
That's a great... For undrafted, it feels like he's the Cam Curl of this draft. Cam went seventh round. He's NFL comparison, Jacquizz Rodgers. That's what I'm seeing, according to NFL.com.
I was going to say Derek Forrest, the safety out of Cincinnati, I think is a guy who could be a Cam Curl. And I'm not just saying that because he's a safety.
Here are the actual numbers.
Because of his special teams contributions. How many times last year, Chris, did Steven Sims sit back there waiting to field a punt and he tightened up a little bit?
Yeah. Here are the numbers on our guy, right? On Jarrett Patterson. 178 yards per game rushing. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes, I did.
All right.
There's more.
Six starts, 1,000 yards, 19 touchdowns. So I wasn't too far off. I said 20. 19 touchdowns and six starts.
It's impressive.
He also had a 301-yard game. So he had a 409-yard game, then a 301-yard game. And they were back-to-back, so 710 yards in two games.
Just got a whistle.
I'm just saying, like, not saying he's going to be a star because that's against, what, Bowling Green and Kent State, but he did it.
Antonio Gibson was going up against middle-of-the-road talent in his conference, and he put up crazy numbers. Look how he turned out. The talent that these prospects go up against isn't entirely indicative, I think that's the right word, indicative of how they will perform in the NFL. Because it's easy to assume the guys that play in the SEC, the ACC, the Power Five conferences are going to be more prepared to enter the NFL when Jerry Rice came from an HBCU. And he turned to be one of the greatest football players of all time. So, as long as the skill set is there, the production is there, and the consistency of your play is there, it can translate to the NFL. You just need the right team, the right scheme, and the right people who believe in you to have a chance. And Jarrett Patterson, who already loves Washington football. There's a picture of him on social media at the practice facility with the cutout. Like, it seems
from,
like...
From here, from this area.
Yeah, from this area.
Played high school football with Chase Young before Chase Young transferred to
the Mavs. That's right.
There's that part. That's the other thing. The biggest star on the team, that's your homeboy.
Yeah.
Locker room guy. Immediately it's like, oh, okay, let's keep Chase happy.
But before drinking the Kool-Aid on any of these players, you need to see him on the field. So training camp is really indicative for how we judge will these players do well. Training camp of this past season, we saw Antonio Gibson out there and knew this kid can do something. And he did.
Yeah.
You got to see it in training camp.
And I'm just saying, for two guys that weren't drafted, it feels like these are pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good picks. Pretty good guys to be picking up who didn't get drafted. And if one of them pans out, great. If they both do, I just think that this, not giving out grades, it has the potential to be a remarkable draft for this team.
Boring, but effective.
I don't know about boring. I don't know. Like, look, there's not, you didn't have the, that's what happens when you win your division. You don't have Chase Young coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to go get Chase Young or Trent Williams. You're not,
I'm not going
the top
out of
five.
Bounds by saying that. That's how I truly feel. It was a boring draft, but an effective one.
So you're saying it's eat your vegetables draft.
Exactly.
This is a, you had broccolini and grilled chicken.
And the dessert comes this season.
No dessert. You're disciplined.
This season.
You're disciplined.
The cheat meal is the 2021 season.
No cheat meals, okay?
Is the season. You're eating your vegetables now to add depth so you can get to the season.
Jamin Davis says that vegetables, that's all he eats. Vegetables and protein shakes.
You seen his frame? Dude, shredded.
You just made me uncomfortable. Chris Miles, Chip Brier here with you. We'll be back, and we will hear from Benjamin St. Juice. I promise. We're going to hear from Benjamin St. Juice in a second. So here's the thing, Chip. I was looking at what the Washington football team did in this draft, and on a defensive end, as you would expect from a Ron Rivera team, they did a good job of alternating picks, right? Linebacker, then you go offensive tackle, then you you go defensive back, and then you go wide receiver. What do you make of the secondary? Did they add the depth that you would like to see?
Yes, they did. And with the NFC East getting better at wide receiver, across the board, you need it. You really, really need it. And I think the sneaky pick that a lot of people aren't going to notice right away, it's going to help them a lot. I said it in the last segment, Derek Forrest. I think he provides depth at safety that they really need that no one really talked about. And he's a guy who played really well for Cincinnati to finish top 10 in pass defense last year.
And that's kind of the thing. We saw what happened with Cam Curl. So what's really interesting is this. Our poll, another one has ended. And which Washington football team pick are you most excited to see? I picked De'Ami Brown. Who do you have? What do you think those results yielded? De'Ami Brown, Jamin Davis, Sam Cosmi, Benjamin St. Juice.
I think...
Who won, you think?
I feel like Brown's going to win this. And then Jamin Davis will come in second. And I think Cosmi will be fourth. I think St. Just will be third. Am I off?
Jamin Davis won, but by a very small... I think it's actually one vote. I think you want De'Ami Brown and Jamin Davis, for all intents and purposes, almost equal.
Mm.
And then Cosmi and Juice... Way at the bottom.
Yeah, like, I wasn't sure because I figured it was going to be the sexy positions that were going to get more hype.
I tell you what, when I looked up, like you said, Derek Forrest to play safety, like they needed to bring in more safety help, especially if this Landon Collins thing is real.
Yeah, we really don't know how that situation is going to play out.
It seems like it's real because if you look at St. Juice, who is a nickel corner, right? That's the thought, that could play safety.
Mm-hmm.
Then they draft a safety. You think both guys would get on the field. Then you have Cam Curl. Well, then that means Landon should be playing like that nickel linebacker, right? Like a nickel corner? Like that it seems like that's where the...
Jack will find a way to make it work.
But you know what I'm saying? Like that's
right.
Where it seems like he'll be. But here's the thing. They have a plan. You know how we know that? Check out this interview with Benjamin St. Juice from the night he was drafted with Logan Paulson and myself. Fourth overall out of Minnesota. It's just the second time in school history that they had two players drafted in the first 75. So, Benjamin, first and foremost, did I get your last name right? Because we were going back and forth. Was it Just or Juiced? Which one is it?
It's a French last name, so it's really hard to translate. But it's Saint Juice, just like juice.
Okay. I feel like I got it right then. Congratulations, man. I look at your story, and I think it's a remarkable one in this sense. You played on a really good defense where a bunch of guys are being drafted, but you kind of flying under the radar until the Senior Bowl. Tell us how things changed once you went to the Senior Bowl in January.
Well, things didn't really change. I was always a great player. It's just the opportunity and exposure that I had. You know, junior year, I only started 9 games. And then with COVID in 2020, I only played 5 games because multiple games got canceled. So I didn't really get to show my full potential. And even with the Senior Bowl, that was only a little glimpse of what I can really do and what, you know, my ceiling is. So the best is yet to come.
So tell us about, I see your size, 6'3", right? And I see two different weights for you, 210, 202. And that's neither here nor there. But when I think about your position that you're listed as, I'm like, cornerback, pretty big. Safety seems about the right size. What position do you fit in with this team perfectly?
To be honest, it's going to be up to the coaches and what they can do. And I think that's the reason why they picked me, because I bring versatility. I'm quick enough. I'm fast enough to still play at corner. I can be moved inside. I even played a little bit of reps at the Senior Bowl at safety. So whatever packages, whatever scheme that we play and with the Washington football team, if they want to plug me at safety, corner, nickel, whatever, I'll have an instant impact for the team. So I think that's what I bring to the team.
People seem to like you. When I look at the process you went through with the interviews, it's all rave reviews. What are some of the what were your impressions of the Washington football team when you met with the front office here?
Nothing but positive stuff, you know. Started at the Senior Bowl, had the chance to meet with them. Then I met with the special team coach. Then I met with Coach Harris, position coach. And it just felt like I had a little bit more extensive conversation with them, you know. When I talked with Coach Harris, you know, we talked about how to just the process of being in the NFL and staying in the NFL and being consistent and being a great player and what can I do to improve and what can I do to become a better player. And those are conversations I didn't have with other teams. So there was already that little chemistry that we was able to build throughout January all the way to the process. So when I got the phone call from Coach Rivera, I was so happy because I knew it was going to work out.
Yeah, you said it's questions they didn't ask. I mean, you are aware that this defense took such a huge step last year. And now they're adding two guys who, in this draft, you know, you and Jermaine Davis, that people are saying they're going to come in and have an impact immediately. What does it mean for you to be part of a unit that, like you said, they ask the right questions, right? And that they know they have a plan for you, I guess is what I'm trying to ask you. Like, they seem like they know exactly how they want to use you.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think that plan will get developed as I get there, and I'll get a better idea of what it is. But they definitely have some up their sleeve, and you know, in my opinion, defense win championship, and the Washington football team got a great defense, and we just, you know, we just loaded up again in this draft, and so we should be ready to go.
So we were trying to figure something out before you came on this show, because it's not every day that we look someone up and it says Montreal. NFL, baby, is there a huge influence for you as another Canadian that's someone you looked up to?
Someone that I look up to, obviously, I mean, the people from my area, you know, we got one with the Chiefs, you know, we had one last year with the Steelers, you know, but we don't have that many. So me being in this position, getting drafted and going to the NFL and trying to have this instant impact as a rookie, I think that paves the way for the younger generation back home. And that's what we need as, you know, Canadians. I know I do it for the kids that didn't have no role model, that didn't have that many guys going to D1 college or in the NFL. So hopefully the younger generation in Canada will be able to reach the NFL way more easily than it was for me.
I know you were saying your last name, French in origin. You speak French. Do you speak any other languages?
Yeah, so French is my native language. Started speaking English at 17, but I also speak Creole because my dad is from Haiti. He immigrated when he's 8 years old.
Oh, man. Can you tell us something really cool about the your experience as a football player, but say it in French? You got anything that you – do you have any sayings that maybe you and your dad go back and forth with?
Oh, yeah. So you want me to say something in French?
Yeah, tell me something fly, man. I want to hear it.
Okay, all right. So I would say – okay. So it will be – aujourd'hui, c'était une très belle journée. C'était une journée extraordinaire. J'ai été repêché par l'équipe Washington Football. Je pense personnellement que je vais avoir un impact instantané. C'est une très belle opportunité pour moi et j'espère gagner un Super Bowl avec eux. So basically, I just said that, like, you know, today was a great day. It was an extraordinary day. I got drafted by the Washington Football Team. I think I will have an instant impact, and then a Super Bowl is coming very soon.
Ça passe. I know you're a Canadian man, but I'm starting to call you a Caribbean dude, man. I'm excited to see you coming here. Yeah, man. Now you done got me excited. All right, now the juice is flowing my way where I'm like, we're coming here, baby. So you got a fan in me.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks for stopping by, man. Congratulations yet again. Your dream come true. You're going to be great here with the Washington Football Team.
Thank you, sir.
Benjamin St. Juice.
Man, could you imagine if he's trash-talking wide receivers? He's just trash-talking. Like, that gets in a wide receiver's head if he's trash-talking. And you can't understand a word he's saying.
I understood what he said. He said, I'm bringing a championship here.
Because he translated it. And we all knew he was saying that. But he could say some dirty things, and they don't know what he's saying.
Le selon du coeur. I am a bonbons. Oui, oui. I know French, bro.
Man.
You kidding me?
Okay, if we get him back on here, I want to ask him to tell us some trash-talking French.
Oh man, I'm trying to think. Yeah, no, I don't got anything.
I got nothing.
You know what?
I've got a French last name, but I'm not French at all.
Briere. Yeah. I thought you were gonna come in here and be like, "Oh yeah, got some beignets."
The most French thing about me is my full name, Roland Theodore Briere the Fourth.
What?
Yeah.
Chip.
You heard it here.
Say it again.
Roland Theodore Briere the Fourth is my full legal name.
Teddy. Chip Teddy. You sound like an R&B singer from the 80s. Chip Teddy in the house.
Oh, man. I wish.
Who's got that juice,
in
baby?
Another life.
The juice is loose. So here's the thing. On a serious note, when I listened to what he was saying, and I'm listening back now, because that was from Friday night, again, we heard the same thing. Oh, when I talked to Coach, and when I talked to Coach again, and when I talked to him again.
People aren't talking about that enough. We are.
It's crazy. I've never heard interviews with players that got drafted here. Oh, when we talked again,
I don't even think he did this in Carolina.
I wonder if Ron Rivera, like, he's definitely, if he was a college basketball or football coach trying to recruit people,
he'd
be
fits the mold.
Samson.
He fits the mold. Yeah.
Violate all types of phone calls.
But situations. It really speaks to how much control he has in these decision making, in the decision making.
It seems like he's done his homework too.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a situation where he hasn't been on the ground in the trenches. It's like, when did he have time to do this?
He's got to get the information and then just puts it to good use.
I think this is the most homework that I think any coaching staff has put, and that's no knock on anybody else.
Yeah,
I feel like they targeted who they wanted. They knew the value where they would be. And I'm gonna tell you what, that Jarrett Patterson situation as an undrafted running back, I bet you they had him on the board like, hey, fourth round. Oh, we need this more. We need this more. And he slipped. They were like, oh, he didn't get drafted. Go get him now.
Ron said it. You watch how the board's going, you see who's your best available, you read the board, and you play accordingly. And they played the game well. So they did. Plus, it's also underrated the relationship he has with Martin and Marty. And how when they came in, no gap in chemistry.
Martin and Marty. Marty and Marty. Like Chip Teddy, baby. Oh, man. We got to take this. Is our last break on the show before we're done. So, Chris Miles and Chip Teddy here with you. Let's go to line one in Zach from Manassas because we don't have a lot of time to take callers. So, let's go to him now. Zach, what do you have to say? Hello, Zach.
Howdy.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
So, I've been an apathetic fan for 20 years. I've been, you know, happy with what we've been doing over the past couple of years. I'm happy we got Ron. Like, we're trending in the right direction. I'm going to throw a wrench in everything that you've been boasting about this draft for the entire time, the entire morning. We drafted a long snapper in the fifth round.
Yeah, we
on
did.
On what board in anyone's draft room was a long snapper on there?
Mine.
You could have completely got that anywhere. You think Kyle Smith and the Falcons took a long snapper this year?
No.
I don't.
No.
The Falcons?
But Nick Sundberg got released. They need a new long snapper. So it's on the board. But I get it. I get where you're coming from. I do.
Yeah.
It makes me question everything. Like,
no.
What?
No.
On a long snapper?
Thanks for calling, Zach.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you for the laugh.
Here's the thing. That does not make me question everything.
You need a good long snapper, bro.
That's the other thing. But here's what I'm saying.
Tressway's a Pro Bowler. He ain't going to be taking long snaps from some Joe Schmo off the street.
And it's done and over with. You know what I'm saying? Like, you say that. Done, over with, not thinking about it.
Yeah, he'll be fine. It's a long snapper.
Yeah.
It's harder than it looks, but he'll be fine.
Here's the other thing. You already got your receiver.
Yep.
You'd already gotten your defensive back.
Mm-hmm.
You already got your linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
You already got your offensive lineman at that point. Kind of like position of need game plan.
And it wasn't the first one taken, mind you. It was the second.
And I think Zach needs to understand that I have been a documented Washington football team hater.
Yes.
Like,
yes, you have.
I am not all smiles and rainbows.
Right.
I don't think Zach knows that about me. But I've always been like, what? Who is this guy? What are they doing? And now I'm like, man, I can't be angry Chris anymore. If they would have like traded up to get Mac Jones, could you imagine the difference? I would just be throwing bombs at
and
this
you've
team
been curmudgeon-y all morning.
Yeah. Okay, so before we run out of time,
yeah.
I know you've had some polls.
Yeah, yeah. We got two other polls we haven't hit. Was the last Boy Scout prime Bruce Willis? This was brought up by Chris Miles.
Absolutely.
67% of the audience said yes.
Who said no?
33% said no.
You know who those people are?
Who are they?
6 years old.
Sure. Last one that we didn't hit. If Daniel Jones played for Alabama, would he have won a national championship? I brought this up because I said
yes.
He would.
I clicked the wrong button. I meant to click yes on that poll. And I clicked no.
You clicked no?
So it's skewed.
Okay, well, you're not alone because 41% of the audience said no. 59% of the audience said yes.
You clicked the wrong button. Everyone said no, clicked the wrong
everyone
button.
Thinks... Daniel Jones could do that because Mac Jones did it.
Daniel Jones is absolutely was a better prospect.
Jalen Hurts is basically what Daniel Jones could have been for Alabama. Be able to run the football, sling it deep.
Yeah, I don't know how true that is. You know, I'll take your word for it, but what I'm saying is...
Hurts is a better athlete.
Like, no one would rather have Mac Jones over Daniel Jones. No one.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Like, no one's ever going to call Mac Jones Mac Dimes.
Right. But that's why I brought up the point that if you put Daniel Jones on Alabama, yes. he would put up the same number as Mac Jones.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
That sounded a little creepy from you.
That's how all Alabama fans talk to me.
All right, what else you got? Those are your two polls?
Those are the only two we didn't hit. The others were football with worst pick, best pick.
Yeah, let's go over my draft pick in the last 5 years. Worst draft pick last 5 years for those just tuning in. Dwayne Haskins, number one from the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Easy target.
47% of people said Dwayne Haskins. Josh Doctson at 25%. And here's, you know what? If we take Haskins off this list, Doctson would be 100%.
Yeah.
I really think everyone would have voted for Doctson. Darius Geis, even though Brendan Dar, a producer here at 106.7, was like, he's a second round pick. Like, yeah, but I don't like him as a human being, and he was a terrible football player here with injuries. Sua Cravens.
I was in the minority there.
Yeah, I didn't really
He had one good year, and I thought he was going to be good, and then it all just fell apart. And to me, that just says a lot.
I think something went wrong mentally with him.
I think it did.
Sensitive.
That's why I think not worse in terms of, oh, he's awful, just worse in terms of, man, imagine what could have been.
Yeah, I mean, he made some plays. Interception, yeah. Touchdown. I was like, okay, Sua, and then done.
Yeah.
Also look cool while doing it.
Yeah.
You know, like some people kind of are
look like a missile, a burgundy and gold missile.
He's the antithesis of Mac Jones. Mac Jones looks like what Pete Haley said. He said the vice principal.
Yeah, the
Danny
vice
McBride
principal
show.
Going to hand out discipline in the middle school.
So he said he looked like Danny McBride.
Yes. And then someone else reached out to me and said he looked like Michael Scott. When he bought a woman's suit and didn't realize he was wearing a woman's suit. from The Office.
Is that because they show your Achilles? Is that
no?
That
it's make because it of the hips. You've been talking about the hips. That's why.
Oh, so
a men's suit is more rounded out at like the top half, whereas in the women's suit is more towards the lower.
Ah, I thought those were skirts. But no. In a women's pantsuit.
Yes.
Specifically.
Specifically.
Is it what it is? Kilts? Like, no. What's the difference between a kilt and a skirt? I don't know.
Men and women?
So women can't wear kilts?
Maybe it's just like no pronoun? I don't know. It's beyond me.
I think kilts just mean it's where it's from, right? Like, I've always been confused by this kilt thing. Just
play the pipes if you're doing it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's where I'm at with the right. Kilts and the skirt.
I'll take jeans, Adidas shoes, and a t-shirt any day.
All right, so we just had a caller basically say, I'm not happy with the draft. You know, I swore that dude was going quarterback. So final question for you, Chip.
Okay, no pressure.
Quarterback. I mean, are you sad that they didn't figure that out in this draft some way, somehow?
A little bit. I'm a little sad. But not crushed. And I believe it's because there's a good quarterback room in place. Ryan Fitzpatrick, people are under, they're not buying him. They should. He's a good stopgap.
I like that the dysfunction involving the Washington football team came back to light with RG3 saying, oh, I bet Kirk Cousins is upset over Kellen Mond going to Minnesota. I do not miss.
Kirk doesn't care.
I don't miss. Well, I don't know that. I don't miss that. Like, that was here for 5 years.
Yeah.
Is it? That was like part of what you dealt with here. And it's like.
That was unnecessary shade.
I mean, I think RG3 is going to be good on TV.
It'd be fantastic.
I think he's going to be good on TV because he's going to say. He's going to be like the Kendrick Perkins of football, man. That dude is going to say stuff that doesn't make sense, but like he has insight. And you're like, what's going on right now?
That's a pretty good comparison.
So, big day, man. Nats in action.
Woo.
You're going to get tickets?
Marlins. I don't know. It looks I've already got a parking spot. Why not? It's not going to break my wallet. I haven't seen a live game since the Wizards played the Knicks.
Nats winning. Man, they're going to go back to the World Series this year. That's what I'm saying.
You're going to stick to it?
Max Scherzer, that velocity down, but the strikeout percentage is up. Loving this team. Who's on the bump today? You know.
I don't know.
I wonder. That matters. You know, when you go to get, do you do that, by the way? When I go to get baseball tickets, I go, all right, who's pitching?
Yeah, like, oh, you have to.
And sometimes.
But the Nationals, you know you're going to get someone good, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, look at you sounding like a homer. Remember when that, Max Scherzer's a Mad Max, baby.
Okay, I'm getting tickets.
$60.
Done.
Let's go do it, Chip.
It's done.
Yeah, we're going to go watch Max Scherzer.
Get the cash out of my wallet. It's right here.
As long as you don't do any more comparisons to Mo Rivera.
Here we go. $60 cash right now.
Who'd you compare to Mo Rivera earlier?
I forgot.
Yeah, it was awful.
I forgot on purpose.
Wanted to punch you in the nose. That's Chip. What do we call you?
Briere.
No. The other nickname we
gotta
came
go.
With you. Oh, man. Chip Briere. He's French. I'm Chris Miles. Thanks for hanging out with us.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.